I remember one of my first service projects when I was a kid, and that was through my local 4-H company. Does anybody remember 4-H or being a part of 4-H? Yes, Lord, you know what I'm talking about. So my project in 4-H, which for those of you that don't know, 4-H is a kind of a local service organization that middle schoolers and high schoolers are a part of, and they take place mainly in rural counties that I grew up in. And, you know, it's my pledge, my head to clear thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health for better living for my club, my community, my country, and my world. I'm just saying. So anyway, so my project, one of the projects that I really loved the most was called an Adopt a Highway. And for those of you that aren't sure what Adopt a Highway is, they made you get up at the butt crack of dawn where you had to go with these latex gloves, these bright orange deer hunting vests, you know I hate orange, and big sticks with pokey things on it, so that way you can make sure you pick up all the trash on a certain stretch of highway that the local 4-H organization has adopted. And I loved it. I ain't taking trash up much anymore, but I just loved it. I will if I have to, because I'm ordered to a life of service. So that service, we're going to move on. That service wasn't exclusive to just highway cleanups, okay? See, in 4-H, we had what were called record books. Okay. Now these record books provided proof that we participated in service organizations that bettered our local community. Anything from rabies clinics to workshops to things like that provided some kind of community service. Now, these record books were judged by a panel every year as part of our project achievement. So service, since a teenager, has been a very basic and vital part of my life. And so being now an MCC and the position that I have now, that's only kind of fueled my life even more since being a part of this church and this denomination. Because one of the things that I learned about this community, one of the things that I've learned from you, is the ability to not just be served, but that we come to serve. And thank you, and that is my sermon. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Amen. No. But that does bring us to our passage this morning. You know, this pericope, $15 word, pericope or text, I did my homework. I got brownie points. A big seminary word. You know, this pericope or text places us smack dab in the middle of an intense conversation Jesus is having, not just with his disciples, but other followers that he may be having. And he makes it quite clear in the passages before and then the passages after. And basically, the Gospel of Mark sets it up this way, that Jesus is going to eventually die, but he will rise again after the third day. Now, one of our commentators tells us that the Gospel of Mark was written this way because he knows Jesus' words run contrary to our natural tendency to think about power, leadership, and all of life according to the terms of the world, and therefore they take time to sink in, which we see in our disciples. But bless their hearts, they just didn't get it. So out of either confusion or angst or possibly a little bit of ego, you know, we see James and John asking Jesus to do what they ask of him. And I'm sure when Jesus heard this leveraging of power and this jockeying for certain positions, I'm sure he shook his head, bowed it, and I'm sure out of either frustration or sadness, he had a tear coming from his eye, knowing that they just didn't get it. I'm sure he said to his people, "Here's the deal. Here's the deal. If you drink from my cup, be prepared of what's ahead. be prepared for what's ahead. And I think this text reminds us that true followers of Jesus, true followers, don't just put him on a wall. Let me say that again. True followers of Jesus don't just put him on a wall in the back of a sanctuary that only need dusting once every 6 months. It is our role to take that Jesus, place him into our hearts, and go out and serve the world. Jesus is not now I'm not following script now. Jesus is not a monument. Jesus is not a memorial. If you want a memorial, go to Washington, D.C. Jesus is not something that we can categorize. Jesus is not something that we can compartmentalize. Jesus is not something that we can put borders around. There is no limit to Jesus' power, so we should not be limiting him in this world. Amen. And here's how we don't limit Jesus in this world. Number one, when we come to provide service, we understand that number one, service is not competition. Teach y'all to get me in sermons with Reverend Elder Dr. Nancy Wilson twice in a weekend. Service is not competition. One of our commentators wrote this, and I absolutely love what they said, that when James and John asked Jesus to sit next to him, the disciples, and you read this in our text, were indignant. They were angry. They heard this comment. But you know what, y'all? They weren't upset that they said it to Jesus. They were upset that they asked Jesus first. Because they grumbled about such brazen jockeying for position because they were wanting the honor themselves. Service is not competition. You know, in today's world, we are constantly in a world of competition, aren't we? After all, isn't that what capitalism is all about? The effects of competition. Even though businesses and organizations compete for our love and affection for Christmas because it is September and October and they want to get the rush, it helps drive down markets and prices to say that we are the better people to get your business and your money. But spiritually, competition drives up walls and it breaks down meaningful dialogue and love. It places boundaries on our service. We are often quick to chide and hold the disciples to task for their lack of competence and understanding and for their drive of competition. But folks, have you taken a look at the mirror lately? We only need to take a look at ourselves to know that we are constantly in competition with each other, saying that we have the pastor's ear. I sat down with Reverend Brad today. Pastor Candace, I got her attention in worship. She pointed at me during service this morning. Yes. Mm-hmm. Jay had me do a solo this morning. Oh, okay. Me. You can spell service without me. We're always saying that we have the better preaching or that we have the better church programming. Well, that's just true, but that's beside the point. Realistically, y'all, we want our local church, we want King of Peace to be the beacon on the hill, don't we? We want King of Peace to be the best that we can. But we are not the best that we can when we isolate ourselves and when we keep ourselves holed up in a church sanctuary when it's our responsibility to, again, take Jesus off the wall and share it with the world. Service eliminates the need for competition, and enforces the idea that life is full and we are in this together. We are better together when we spiritually collaborate together to bring all people to the table instead of breaking each other down. Point number two, service embraces life. I truly believe that service is more than just being together. Service transcends all boundaries as it fully embraces life in a complex, multi-generational, multi-technological, multicultural world. When Jesus said that he gives himself as a ransom for many, one commentator wrote that he understood himself paying himself out in order to rescue us from our delusion that we are somehow self-sufficient, independent, self-made men and women. It challenges not only our assumptions, but the very powers that be with the surprising and life-giving revelation that as we lose ourselves in service, we find ourselves living more fully than ever before. In other words, when we serve others and not just ourselves, we comprehend that service transcends all boundaries that we put up, while holding intention that service is not about us, but the reality that Black lives matter, that trans lives matter, that God is bigger than HIV and AIDS and cancer, while enforcing the idea that we serve something greater than our inflated sense of selves. This something greater commands us that life is living large while celebrating the beauty of all that we are and all that we bring to a table, fueled by a spirit that demands nothing except creating something beautiful and something good in our lives. This past weekend, I went to the All Florida Network gathering, where 18 of our churches had come together in the state of Florida. Now, you may not know this, but in our state, there are 18 MCCs around this entire state. Yes, that is something to be good, happy about. MCC is very, very strong in our state. And when I went to hear Reverend Elder Dr. Nancy Wilson preach, she told us about the history of this denomination that started out in a living room with only 12 people and $3.16 or $3.28 in the offering plate. That this became the church of HIV and AIDS during the 80s and the early 90s. But yet they still had a vision. They still had a vision. They had a feeling that everything is going to be all right. They had a vision. They were relentless. And how did they do that? They did that because they said, lives matter. We still save lives today. How many of us had an experience where MCC has saved our lives in one way, shape, form, or fashion? Many of us have experienced that. And I challenge you this morning, not to sit idly by waiting for the world to pass you around. But when we regard true service and we go outside these walls to bring about service and bring about change, we can transform lives around us and we can transform the world. But it's up to you. It's up to you. It's not up to solely me. It's not up to solely Pastor Candace. It takes a community of people to set this world ablaze with the power that only Jesus Christ himself can bring to this world. There is a Pew Research polling done that Tampa, St. Petersburg metropolitan area is one of the lowest church attending populations in the country. Yes. Let that one sink in. That means that there's a lot of people who are hearing messages of hate and exclusion. There are messages going around telling them that God is not there for them. What should our response be as we continue giving of our service and giving of ourselves to a world that is hungering, that needs a cup filled? That is how we can create something beautiful and something good. But finally, point three, let me get back on track here before we can get out for brunch or whatever. Finally, point three, I'm kidding. We're going to be here as long as I'm here. Finally, point three, service means discipleship. When we serve Jesus and when we serve others, we follow Jesus with power and authenticity. Over and over, commentators spoke of following Jesus while recognizing the beauty and the consequences of following him by drinking of his cup and sharing in his suffering. Looking in hindsight, as I said before, it's so easy to remark of how the disciples just don't get it. But sometimes we don't get it either, and that's okay. That's when Jesus comes through. That's when God's grace and mercy comes through. But when we radically engage in a program of discipleship that follow Jesus, we don't build mega churches, we build mega shelters. We don't contribute to $1 million jets and $500,000 Bentleys. We contribute to save millions of lives. It is truly easy for us to forget that really following Jesus is all about this process called kenosis, which is about self-emptying, pouring out of ourselves, while keeping our hearts and minds and souls focused as servants of a Jesus who modeled service for us. And if you need more, read Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. In my opinion, Jesus shouldn't be in a sanctuary on a wall collecting dust. Jesus should be outside in our world, rapidly saving, changing, and transforming lives through us, so we can all transform the world. So this morning, I encourage you, King of Peace. I encourage you. No, I challenge you this morning. Go out, make a difference. Continue serving without competition, serving while embracing life, and serve while following Jesus. And as you do, you will not only teach the power of service in this world, but the awesomeness of following a Christ that is full of love, life, and joy. Amen. And amen. Let us pray. Precious God, during these moments of silence, while we reflect on you, may we continue to understand and learn about service, not just in these walls, but outside these walls. May we continue to learn and love and live life together. May our cup be full to overflowing, full of joy and possibilities that can change the world. Leave our hearts full and uplifted as we continue throughout this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.